Well, they got a nice wife for Joseph, and he settled down and built himself a house. And he brought up Manasseh and Ephraim there, and he was very fond of his children, was Joseph. He was a good father. And he had also very good servants there. But in the course of time, the famine wasn't only in Egypt, but it was in all the Middle East, all that part of the world. They were right up to the land of Canaan, where Jacob, Joseph's father, lived. And you know, they got thinner and thinner and still thinner. And they had 11 mouths to feed there. And after a time, they got nothing more. The wife of Jacob, you see, went to the cupboard, and when she got there, the cupboard was bare, and so they had none. Nothing at all. Okay? Yes.
Does it mention the Joseph's wife's name?
Oh, yes. What was the name of Joseph's wife? You tell me that. Joseph's wife was an Egyptian name. You mean Jacob's wife is what I meant, wasn't it? You asked me that.
No, I don't know that. You know Joseph, when he had kids?
Yeah.
What
was the name of his wife? Where's my little Bible? I'll tell you his name. It's an Egyptian name. I just read it, but I can't call it to mind because it's an Egyptian name. That she was the daughter of the priest of On. Here it is. I'll tell you that. That's a good question to ask. And Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land. And the Pharaoh gave him in marriage Asenath, A-S-E-N-A-T-H, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. That's who she was. So she was a parson's daughter. So she must have been good, wasn't she? You see, my wife is a parson's daughter. Yeah. Come on.
I can never say his name. The guy who...
Potiphar?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Is he still Pharaoh's, like, guard?
Oh, he was the chief of the guard. They couldn't sack him in those days. They couldn't fire them.
Oh.
So he was there. And Pharaoh sent for him 2 or 3 times and said, I'm making your slave, king of Egypt, in fact. He's going to rule over all Egypt. Now, how much do you want for him? Because he's going to enter my service. And the slave couldn't do that. So Pharaoh probably paid him back his 20 pieces of silver, whatever he'd paid for Joseph. So they made a transaction and Pharaoh bought him. Okay?
How old were Joseph's children, say?
How old are they? Did you say how old?
Yeah.
Well, they were no years old, 0 years old when they were born, of course, but they were born within the first 7 years of plenty in the land, both of them, Manasseh and Ephraim. Before the year of the famine came, Joseph had 2 sons. So in the first 7 years of their marriage, they had they got 2 sons. Okay? Any more difficulties? Well, the people at home, see, Jacob, Joseph's father, were getting hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. And they heard through the grapevine that there was corn in Egypt. Jacob said to his sons, go down to Egypt and buy us some corn before we die. So they all set out to go down to Egypt with their asses, their donkeys. And when they got to Egypt, who did they have to go to?
Joseph.
Joseph. He was the only man allowed. He had Pharaoh's ring, didn't he? He was the only man allowed to sell the corn. So they had to go to Joseph. Now, Joseph had been set up as the ruler of Egypt, and he didn't look like the Joseph he was when he was 17 years old. When you're older, you won't look like you are now. You'll look grown up. And Joseph was grown up. And when the 11 sons, his brothers, came and knelt down before him because they were all afraid of him. They were terrified of the ruler of Egypt. He recognized them, and they didn't recognize him because he looked different. You see, he got Egyptian clothes on, and he got his beard shaved off because the Egyptians didn't have beards, and they shaved them off. So he recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. So they knelt down before him and said they'd come to buy corn because they were starving at home. Now Joseph recognized them, and he thought, now what shall I do? He thought of his dreams, that his brothers and sisters would come and bow down before him. You see, he knew it was happening in his very presence. So when they said they wanted to buy corn, he said, who are you? So they said, oh, we're the sons of one man. We're all of one family, and we're honest people. Joseph thought how they'd sold him and pocketed the money themselves. We're honest men's son. He said, now go on, I don't believe you. You're dishonest. Your spies come to spy out the land where the weak points are so that you can destroy Egypt. And he said, oh no, sir. Oh no, sir. We're not spies. We're honest people. And our father's still alive. Of course, that's what Joseph wanted to know, whether his dad was still alive, because he didn't know. There wasn't any postal service or telephone like that in those days. So he wanted to find out without seeing who he was. So he said, well, I want to see whether you're honest people or not. Oh, they said, sir, we are honest. We've never done anything wrong in all our life. So he thought, oh, boys, 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 this is terrible. What shall I say? So he didn't say a thing. He wanted to teach them a lesson. And they needed to learn a lesson, didn't they, those boys? They got away with it too long. Put their old father into them, thinking that his son Joseph was dead when they knew he wasn't dead. They didn't care at all. They were as hard as they make them. So Joseph said, I want to see if you're honest people. So he winked to his servant, you see. He gave a sign to his servant. He said, now go and bind them hand and foot and put them in jail. So he did. He had them thrown into the dungeon, probably the same dungeon that he'd been in. And they cooled off for 3 days. And after 3 days, he called them out of the dungeon and said, now look, I'm a man who fears God. I'm not going to do anything wrong to you, but I want to see if you're speaking the truth. Because if you haven't learned to speak the truth, you're no good to me. So he took one of them, Simeon, and he bound him hand and foot and said, I'm going to keep him here. You've got some other brothers, haven't you, at home? Yes, they said, we've got some other brother. We've got Benjamin at home. Now, Benjamin was the full brother of Joseph from the same mother. So he was particularly anxious to know what his full brother, who his full brother was, because he hadn't seen him for 13 years. So he said, you'll go home and take some food for your father and the rest of the family so you don't die. But I'm going to make sure you're coming back to me. And you'll not see me again unless you bring with you Benjamin. Benjamin, you see, was the full brother of Joseph. So they said, oh, yes, sir, we'll go and do that. So he told his servant to pack their bags and to put all the money that they brought with them to buy the corn into their sacks and tied their sacks up again. So he returned their money and took nothing for it, for what he'd given them. He said, you go and bring me back Benjamin, and he didn't mention his name, he said, your youngest brother. And then I'll give you Simeon free, but Simeon will sit here as guarantee that you come back with my brother. I'm going to make sure of you people, because I don't trust you. I think you're spies. He knew they weren't, you see, but he was going to make them afraid, because they need a little lesson. People who do that need lessons, don't they? So they said, yes, sir, we'll be back as quick as we can, and we'll bring Benjamin along with us. So he said, now, okay, now you're going back home to your father. There's one thing you haven't got to do, and I shall find out. Be careful. You haven't got to quarrel on the way home. Because if they quarreled, you see, they'd be gone too long. So he didn't want that. So he sent them off. And when they got to the inn at night to sleep the night, one of them opened their sack, opened his sack of corn, and in the mouth of the sack, he found the corn sack was full, and all the money he'd paid for it was in the mouth of the sack. So he said to the others, "You guys, watch out. Something's going to happen to us, because all the money that I gave that man for my corn has been put into the sack. There's some queer, fishy business going on there." So the others trembled within and said, "Oh, perhaps it was an oversight, perhaps it was a mistake." But they were very, very afraid. And Reuben said to them, "Now look here, I'll tell you guys what's happening to us. When Joseph came into the wilderness to visit us while we were looking after father's sheep, we heard Joseph beg us not to sell him into slavery, and we hardened our hearts and we didn't listen to him. This is the punishment for that." They had a bad conscience, you see. So their conscience was really wakened up now. So they went home and they told Jacob what had happened. And Jacob, when he heard it, he said, you are dumb, aren't you, you kids? Why did you tell the man that we have another son, Benjamin, that he couldn't come the first time? Why did you tell him that if he didn't know, he wouldn't have asked for him?" He said, "But I'm not going to give you Benjamin." But they said, "Now look, we can't go back to the ruler of the land." They still didn't know it was Joseph, you see. They had no idea it was Joseph. "We can't go back and see him unless Benjamin with us. We won't go, because we can't see the man unless you give us Benjamin." So the old man started to cry and said, "Look, you've robbed me of Joseph, and now you want to rob me of Benjamin. I won't let him go." So they stood there as long as they could, and they hadn't anything to eat at all. They were really at the end of everything. They hadn't even the can of sardines there. So after they'd stood looking at one another for 2 or 3 weeks, they got so hungry that they went to their father again and said, "Look, give us Benjamin and we'll go again." But he wouldn't. He stuck there. He said, "Now look, you've almost killed me over Joseph. I thought I should die when Joseph disappeared. When Joseph was killed by the lion, as he thought. But, you know, after a day or two, he got so hungry, and there was not even corn in the soup that they had to eat. Just water, and there wasn't much water either. So after 2 or 3 days he said, "Now okay, if one of you will go surety," you know what that means, don't you, to go surety, "if one of you will guarantee that you'll bring Benjamin back safe, then you can take him." So it was either Reuben or Judah, one of them, I forget which, who said he'd go surety for Benjamin if he'd entrust Benjamin to him, he'd bring him back and guarantee. He said, "You can kill my own children if you like, if I don't bring him back." He was so put to it with hunger, you see, that he did that. Well, they got straight, and Jacob said, "Now look, I see the man who's the ruler of Egypt. He's a very hard man, and maybe he'd take off your heads just as easy as he'd kill a fly, you see. So take him a nice gift from me. Make some honey and some balm and the best things that we have in the land, the last things that are left," they hadn't got very much left in their larder, "and take it as a gift to the man. Perhaps he'll be kind to you instead of so hard." So they made a little present for Joseph, some honey and some balm and some myrrh and things like that that they wanted, and said, "Take it as a present and go and see if you can make him a bit softer towards you." So they said, "Okay, Dad, we'll go now." So they took Benjamin and set off for Egypt again. And when they came to Egypt, they were directed straight to Joseph again, you see. And they didn't know it was Joseph. Benjamin and Joseph saw them, and he said, "Oh, there are those people there again. Bring them to me and tell them they've got to eat with me in my house at lunchtime. We're going to have a meal together." So we said, oh, he's only going to take us prisoner, and he's going to take our asses and steal us and make us slaves for life. You see, they had a bad conscience, and a bad conscience made them fear things that weren't there. They didn't know that Joseph knew them, that they were the brothers of Joseph. They had no idea of that, because Joseph didn't speak to them in Hebrew, you see. He spoke to them in Egyptian, and he had an interpreter to do it. So one of them said, when he turned up so hard again, they said, oh, this is all because we heard Joseph praying us not to sell him into captivity, into slavery in Egypt, and we took no notice of him. This is the punishment for it. And they said that to one another in Hebrew. And they didn't think that Joseph would understand. And Joseph understood them, because he hadn't forgotten his mother tongue, you see. And when he heard them making recriminations to themselves, that is, blaming themselves, he had to disappear into the bathroom quick, because he started to cry. You see, he was so upset to think his brothers had such an evil conscience, and he loved them so much, although they'd been so wicked to him, that it really upset him to hear this story, that they said, this has happened to us because we sold him, in spite of the fact he begged us not to sell him. Joseph heard it and understood it, and he disappeared into the bathroom, and it says in the Holy Scriptures he washed his face, and then he came out again. You see, if you come out with tear marks all over your face, they know you've wept, don't they? Don't you? And he didn't want them to know that, otherwise they might have rumbled the whole business. And he was teaching them a lesson, you see. So when he came back and looked a bit fresh, he said, now come, we're going over to eat together. And when he got them over to his house, they were terrified. And they saw the guard standing at the door, because high officials always had a guard, an armed guard standing at the door. And they said, let's talk to him first before we go in to see what he wants. So they talked to the armed guard at the door and said, look, when we came back from Egypt the last time, each of us found money, which we paid for the corn in his own sack. We're very sorry about that, but we've brought more money and we've brought the old money back again. We don't want to be dishonest. So that'll be all right, said the man. The Lord your God thinks it well with you, and he gave you the money back. And the servant himself, the armed guard, had put it in his sack, put it in each one of his sack, because all of them had got their money back again. So they were terrified at this, but wait a minute. They nearly forgot themselves over the next one that comes. When they got into the house, they found the table all set, and they found that the youngest, Benjamin, was at the head of the table, and next to him came the next eldest brother, and all 11 of them were placed round the table according to their seniority in the family, according to their age. Well, they said, that must be a god, this ruler of Egypt, because he knows that we're brothers, and he knows our ages, and he knows the order in which we ought to sit. So they were terrified. This man is occult, they said, he knows everything. Well, they sat themselves down, and then it was announced outside with bugles as he came in that Joseph was coming home to eat with them. So they really were terrified at this, that the ruler of Egypt was going to eat with them. They said, he's going to steal us and make us slaves for life. Well, they had a little side table for the Egyptians, and a big round table for Joseph and his brothers, because the Egyptians weren't allowed to eat with the Hebrews. That was an abomination to them. The Hebrews had to eat separately. So they sat down at table, and each one confirmed that Benjamin was in the right place, and Judah and Simeon were all in their right places, and they started to eat. Now Joseph came in, and he sat down to eat with them too. And so they had a good meal, but, you know, they couldn't enjoy it because they were so terrified of what was going to happen to them now. They were in the man's house and they were under guard, you see, with an armed guard at the door. But they were absolutely, they say in English, frit. I don't really know what frit means. It means frightened, frightened to death. You know, they couldn't even get enough saliva in their mouth to eat and enjoy their food because they were so frightened. And when they finished eating, Joseph called one of his servants to him. He said, now you take the sacks of these men, which you filled up with corn, and this time you put in the mouth of the sack of Benjamin, it must be in Benjamin's sack, you must put the silver beaker, the silver goblet out of which I drink, by which I prophesy, he said, because that was the holy goblet that he had to drink out of. You put that in Benjamin's sack. So he, servants didn't ask any questions in those days. He put the silver goblet in Benjamin's sack and sealed it up with string again. And after the meal, they were all dismissed by Joseph, and Joseph kissed them all, but he kissed his brother Benjamin most. And Benjamin had more to eat than all the others, because Joseph sent over to his plate the stuff that was on Joseph's plate so that his brother should have the best, Benjamin. And they were all surprised at that, that he did that to his brother Benjamin, because they didn't know he was his brother at all. They had no idea, because he spoke Egyptian the whole time with these people and not Hebrew. And they spoke amongst themselves Hebrew, and that was it. So they all got onto their donkeys after they'd had their meal and were glad to get out of the house where the armed guard was. And when they got out of the house, they rode off towards the frontier to rode back to their father with all the food and all the rest of it. And when they got out of the house, Joseph let them go about an hour. And then he sent his servant, the armed guard, after them and said, why do you repay good for evil? I've been very kind to you. Why do you steal from my table? So they said, oh, sir, we've stolen nothing. They said, okay, we're missing at the table the silver beaker by which my master, they didn't say Joseph, of course, because he had an Egyptian name then, by which my master prophesied, and that's the most important piece of cutlery we've got in the house. So they said, no, we've not stolen anything, we're honest people. So they said, well, the sack in which I find this missing goblet, this missing beaker, that person is going to be my slave forever. That's what our master says. So they started to look, and they started in the sack of the eldest, and they worked down from the eldest right to the youngest, until in Benjamin's sack they found the silver beaker. God, when they saw this silver beaker come out of Benjamin's sack, it says their heads fell, and they wept. So they turned back to Joseph's city again, and said, we are thy servants forever. Oh, no, said Joseph, you're not my servant. I don't want you. But I do want the man who stole my beaker. I want Benjamin, the man who stole my beaker, which is what he thought, you see. And he'd done it himself, just to teach him a lesson. So the other said, Reuben said, look here, I'm surety for that boy. I can't go back to my father. Because if he's not with us, when my father sees that Benjamin isn't there, he'll have an apoplectic fit, and he'll have a stroke, and he'll die. I can't do that. Don't demand that Benjamin stays here, because if you do, it will kill my father. He was, you see, he got a stripe of good in him, hadn't he? Poor old Reuben. So Joseph said, no, I don't want anybody except the youngest who did the stealing. Okay, so that's the end of that little section. We'll do another one, if you can stand it. Now, when Joseph's armed guard caught up with these people a short distance from the city where he lived, he stopped them and said, why have you stolen the silver beaker out of which my master prophesies. So they said, we've not stolen anything. We wouldn't steal the knives and forks from your table. You've been kind enough to be host to us. We wouldn't steal that. But he said, I want to see. And by whom I find it, one of you has taken it, by whom I find it, he shall be my slave forevermore. So they said, here, come and start. So the eldest one let his sack down from the ass, which was carrying it, and looked in it, and there was only his money in there. They put back his money in there again, you see. They did that every time. Joseph did that every time. So the silver beaker wasn't there. So they went to the next one then, and looked at his sack, and he let it down to the ground, and it wasn't there. And then he went to the next one, right down to the 11th one, right down to Benjamin, and there, sure enough, as they opened the string on the top of the sack, there was this silver beaker by which Joseph did his prophesying. You see, they had beakers to drink the wine they drank before they prophesied. And when they found that, they all put their faces down to the ground and wept. So they turned back to the city. And when they got there, they found, remarkably enough, that Joseph was still at home. He hadn't gone back to work that afternoon. So they went into Joseph and spoke to him, and Joseph said, now look, you can't do that sort of thing with me. Don't you know that I can divine, that I have a prophetic gift, and I know when you've stolen anything in my house, and I know who did it. Don't you think that I knew that before you did it? So they said, oh yes sir, you're just as a king here, aren't you? Of course you know, but we're very, very sorry, but we'll all be your slaves forevermore now. So Joseph said, no, you won't. I'm not an unjust man. I only want the one who stole it. And who was that? Little Benjamin it was who'd stolen it. Well, they put it into his, they planted it in his sack, you see. So they settled down to be their slaves, be the slaves of Joseph for all their life. But Simeon, I think it was Simeon, one of them anyway, said to Joseph, can I speak to you privately for a minute, sir? And didn't know it was Joseph, of course. So Joseph said, sure, I'm a just man. What do you want to talk to me about? Well, he said, you must understand that my father is very old, and he's very devoted to Benjamin, who's done this stealing in your house. And if I go back, I'm surety for Benjamin, and if I don't bring him back, he has the authority to kill my children there, because I'm surety and I've lost Benjamin. So I can't go back, because if I go back and my father sees that Benjamin isn't there, he'll die on the spot. Because he scarcely survived the loss of Joseph when the lion ate him in the wilderness. And he knew very well no lion had ever eaten him, you see. So, Joseph was very moved at this. So he said, I can't go back and see the calamity which will befall my father if Benjamin is not with us. So when Joseph heard that, he couldn't hold back any longer. He had to weep because he saw his brothers so terrified and so repentant of the evil that they'd done him. So he went out and washed himself again, and came back in and said, I am Joseph, the brother that you sold into the land of Egypt 13 years ago. I am Joseph. When they heard that, they were absolutely petrified, because they'd done it all, and they'd been saying all the time they were honest people, and they were dirty little robbers, you see. They sold their mother, their brother, for money, and sent the coat back to their father covered in goat's blood. You see, he didn't have any chemistry today, because they had found out it was goat's blood and not human blood long ago, but they didn't know that. And he thought it was human blood, thought it was Joseph's blood all over the coat. That wouldn't happen today, because you'd know. Anyway, he went out of the room and came back and said, I'm Joseph. Now, they all backed away from him because they were terrified. He had the power of Pharaoh. You see, he got Pharaoh's ring on, so he could do anything with these people. So when they backed away from him, Joseph said, "Don't be afraid of me now, because God sold me into Egypt to preserve the lives of many people here, to preserve your life in Canaan, because you've got no food and you'd be dead if you weren't any corn in Egypt. He sent me here. Now, I'm not cross with you at all. I forgive you all that. It was wrong of you to do it, but God has used your doing wrong to do right." That's how God always does things. When people do wrong, he uses it to make it do right. But he doesn't excuse them for doing wrong. If you lie, he doesn't excuse you for that. So they all had a good weep that things had turned out for good, although they meant it for bad. You see, Joseph's brothers weren't very kind to him, were they? Not really. Although it all turned out well. And that's how God does things. He uses the evil of men to do good. How kind of him to do that, isn't it? So they wept so loudly when Joseph made himself known to his brothers that the Egyptians heard it. The Egyptians in the next room, they were listening. What are these Hebrews doing now next door? And so Pharaoh sent word to Joseph. He sent a servant along and said, "Look, I am glad I hear that your brothers have come." So Joseph said, "Yes, they have, and I'm very glad too." So Joseph said, "Is my father still alive?" And they said, "He's still alive, but he's very old and frail. He can't do many journeys anymore because he's old." So Pharaoh said, okay, we'll send you wagons and horses and asses and mules down to pick him up, and all the furniture that he wants to take with him, and all the food that he'll need forevermore, and he can come down to live in Egypt, and I'll give him the best part of the country, because I've got Pharaoh's ring on me, you see, and I can say that part of the country, which is Goshen, will belong to you, and I'll give you more land than you've got in Canaan, and you can have all the food you like, and you'll be with Joseph." And so when they heard that Joseph promised them that, and he had the power of Pharaoh, they said, they cheered up then immensely. So they came nearer to Joseph, and Joseph, "Come up to me." He said, "Let me kiss you all. Let me give you a hug." So he did. You know, they were terrified of him because he was in the place of Pharaoh. He had the strength of Pharaoh. And he hugged them all. Think of that. Now, Joseph called his armed guard again and said, "Look, put every man's money back into his sack and fill their sacks up full as much as they can carry with corn, and get as many wagons with broad rims on, you know, to go through the desert so that you can go on sand. Get as many as you like to get the whole 70 of them, about 70 of them in Canaan, bring them down to me, and I'll transport them as far as Goshen." So they did. And Joseph took them aside and said, "Now look here, you're going back with all these wagons and horses and asses and she-asses and asses and mules. Go and greet my father and tell him that Joseph is still alive. And Joseph is waiting for you. And he's given you all of the land of Goshen to live in. So don't worry about any furniture you may have to leave behind or any land you may have to leave behind. It's not worth it. I'll give you 10 times more down here." So they set off with all this corn absolutely loaded onto wagons, and Joseph sent a little train of caravans of special gifts of corn and honey and all the good things of Egypt down to his father as a special present. And he gave Benjamin 10 times as much as he gave the other, because he was his full brother, you see. And when they got back to their father, poor old Jacob, you know, he couldn't see very well, and he was old and frail. And when they said, "Dad, cheer up. Joseph is still alive." And do you know what the old man did? He fainted. Because he knew his children had had him on a string. You know what to have on the string means, don't you? That he told, that they told him lies about Joseph being torn up by an old... And it all came out that he dipped Joseph's clothes in goat's blood to make his father think he was dead. And there was no hope for him at all. So it all came out then. So, the old man then cheered up and he said, well, look, what are all these wagons you've got here? And what's this special little caravan here with special corn and honey and all the rest of it on board? Oh, they said, that's a special gift from your son, Joseph, to his father to make him come and to prove that he's really alive. He sent a little gift along to you. So when he saw the wagons and the gift which Joseph, and a little note which Joseph had written, you see, to his father, so that he would know that it really was Joseph. You see, the old man had been so often lied to by his children that he didn't believe a word they said anymore. If you lie too often, people don't believe you, do they? And he couldn't believe them because they'd been such vagabonds to tell them that we found this, you, this coat of many clothes under a bush. Probably a wild animal has eaten him. I mean, the father then realized that that wasn't Joseph's blood that was on the clothes, but it was what they'd done to the clothes to make the father think he was dead. So it all came out that they were a bunch of liars. And the old man was so happy and so upset at the same time that Joseph really was alive. He said, look, I want to see Joseph before I die. And the Lord said to him, Jacob, Israel was his name then, Jacob, if you go down to Egypt, don't fear to go down, because your son is there and he's prepared the way for you. That's why Jesus is always compared in the Holy Scripture to Joseph, because Joseph did the same thing that Jesus has done. He's gone before us to prepare a way for us when we die, hasn't he? And to prepare a way for us here in this world. That's what he does. So he mounted the wagons and his wives and his children and all that they could take with them. They mounted onto these wagons from Egypt with the Egyptian horses in front of them, and they started the long, long journey down to Egypt. And when they came, they were brought straight into Joseph. And Joseph, of course, hugged his father and said how glad he was that they should meet. And it says that when Joseph died as an old, old man, they gave him the promise that they wouldn't leave his body in Egypt, but they'd take his mummified bones back to the land of Canaan, which was promised to them by the Lord himself. And so they did. And Joseph was present when his father died, but you know what they do to dead people when they die, don't you? Sometimes they die with their eyes open. And if you get them just after they've died and put your fingers on their eyes, you can close them so that when they're dead, their eyes stay closed so that they look as though they're sleeping. So Joseph was the man who closed his father's eyes, Jacob's eyes, when he died, and so fulfilled all the promises. Now, that's the story of Joseph and his brothers. You see, all the evil that God let happen to Joseph, 13 years, wasn't it, as a slave, was done to make Joseph of a strong enough character to rule over all Egypt and not to be ruined by the material goods he had. Because many people have so many material goods, you know, it ruins their character. And Joseph didn't have any danger of that when he was in the dungeon for so long, was he? Did he? So that's the story I wanted to tell you guys this afternoon. That God uses the evil things which happen to us, to prepare us for a high office. Now, have you ever thought what God is preparing us for, you and me? He lets all sorts of things happen to us that we don't like, doesn't he? Why does he do it? He does it to prepare us not to rule over Egypt, like Joseph was prepared to rule over Egypt and to steel up and strengthen his character. He does it to make us rule with Christ forever and ever in his kingdom when he comes back to rule over the earth. We shall be at his right side. As Joseph said, God has made me a father to Pharaoh. Pharaoh trusts me that I can look after his kingdom for us. So what God is doing with us in this life is preparing us for ruling and reigning with Jesus when he comes to take over his kingdom. That's the purpose of these Old Testament stories, to tell us that in an allegorical form. You know what an allegory means, don't you? Allegorical form. You do know. Well, it's in the form of a story to tell you a particular message. It's a sort of a sign language to tell you a particular message. As Joseph was prepared to rule over all Egypt, so we are being prepared, if we love the Lord Jesus, by all the things that happen to us, to get a character which is strong enough to take on the office of ruling over the world, the cosmos, with Jesus. When Jesus comes back as king, we shall be at his right hand, as Joseph was at the right hand of Pharaoh when he was king of Egypt. Okay? Will that satisfy you? Any questions? I've said too much and haven't asked you any questions. Any questions you'd like to ask? Did you get the meaning of the story? You have. So you see, all the nasty things that happened to us are meant to work together for good to those that love God, to prepare us to rule and reign with Christ forever and ever. That's the purpose of all the awful things that do happen to us. So if there's a purpose behind it, you can stand it, can't you? If a dentist were to come to me and say, look, I've just bought a new drill, might I try it out on your teeth? What would I say to him? No, you don't. If you do, I'll make a lawsuit against you. But if he says, might I try out my new drill on removing the holes in your decaying teeth, I say, go ahead, boys, do it. Because that has a sense, that has sense in it, doesn't it? But I wouldn't allow him to do it just to try it out. Neither would you?
No.
No. But if you've got a hole in your tooth, decay, you'd say, go ahead, I'll be happy, wouldn't you? And you see, Jesus was drilling out the weak parts in Joseph. And Joseph, when he started his life in captivity in Egypt, he was rather a weak character, you know. He told on his brothers, you see, and he kept telling his father all the evil things, says the scriptures, that his brothers did. So he was a tale bearer, and that isn't good. You see, when the brothers came to him and fell down before him to worship, he never said a word who he was, so he could keep a secret then, couldn't he? He couldn't keep secrets beforehand, so he had to learn to do that. And it was the black dungeon and Potiphar's wife that did that. They bored out all the decayed parts of his teeth in his character, you see, and made him fit to be a king. So we're being made fit to be kings, aren't we, if we love the Lord Jesus? So it all has a purpose, yes.
When there's some slaves, if they didn't have, like, good teeth like Joseph, would the people still not buy them just because they didn't have good teeth?
Well, if they had bad teeth, they might have bad health, you see. You get infections under your teeth. And if they had bad health, they didn't want to have another patient in bed to look after. They wanted a servant there to serve them. So they thought they wouldn't be worth much money if they had bad teeth or anything else that was bad. Say they had bad corns on their feet. That would deduct 2 shekels off their price, you see. Any more? What about you? All clear as mud.
Clear as mud, muddy and clear.
That's just what I meant. That's what I meant, exactly. What about the boys? What about the big boys? All nice and clear. You remember the story of Joseph now, won't you? Won't forget.
You put in everything that needs to be.
I hope I have. I sometimes forget, you know, and then I look at my wife and I can see a question mark in her eyes, and then I think of it, what I should think of. But that's how we work, you see. I always have her in the neighborhood so that I can see that look on her face which says, you've forgotten something. I know what it is.